May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I had images of the Good Shepherd around me from a very young age. Those images were everywhere in my grandparents' house. They even had a scene of knitted sheep and a shepherd in the lounge. And nearly all the birthday cards we got from them had shepherd motifs on them. When our granddad came along to our house, we liked to play a farm board game with him because we knew he would always lose. He always bet all his money on the sheep. His strategy always was to have most sheep. He didn't care about getting horses, cows, donkeys, goats, or any winning points. So we knew his strategy right from the beginning, and he would always just end up with a sheep and not much else and would lose. He was so fascinated with the story and the metaphor of seeing God as a shepherd. That was because he actually was a shepherd. When my granddad was at agricultural school, his best subject was vine growing. But his heart was not really in it, and he did what was most profitable for their little farm. So he grew fruit, mainly cherries and strawberries. Of course, they also had a few cows, fields of potatoes, and grain and other vegetables, and also stands of apple trees from which the all-important apple cider could be made. And by the way, if you think that Germans all drink beer, that's not right. In some regions, my grandparents hardly drank any beer, but they always had barrels of cider in the cellar, and that was the most important thing. Up to this day, I don't really drink beer, but I enjoy cider. My granddad also worked as a digger driver. When, in later years, my grandparents were financially secure, he fulfilled his dream of becoming a shepherd. The cows had to leave, some land was converted to pasture, and he negotiated grazing rights. He fenced some areas, but much of the land on which the sheep grazed was not fenced. And from then on, my granddad could often be seen walking through the village and nearby fields with a flock of sheep behind him. Mind you, he was not sentimental about it. He butchered the sheep himself. To this day, I'm not that keen on unprocessed meat because as a youngster, I always got hard mutton, which, honest to say, my mum did not know how to cook. My granddad got much of his theology from this image of the Good Shepherd. He himself knew his sheep and cared for them. He led them to good pasture. He would stand or sit for hours watching them, possibly sending the dog round to bring a wandering sheep back to the flock. I would sometimes be with him and always think of him when I think of the Good Shepherd. Of course, since then, I have been to Israel many times, and I have seen shepherds wandering the fields as they have done for thousands of years. So that image is not one I took myself, but most of the images you will see today are images I took myself because shepherds are around everywhere in Israel. But even in the 15 years or so I've been going to Israel, I have noticed how modern life has even affected them now, and there are fewer shepherds around than there used to be. As you all know, in much of the world, the shepherd leads the sheep and they follow him or her. They are not herded by dogs or people, but rather follow the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd is closely involved with the sheep, knows the characteristics of each one, knows them by name. Even when to other people, the flock of sheep is just an indiscriminate mass of animals. The shepherd cares for the sheep and brings them to the right pasture. The shepherd provides for the sheep, giving them access to minerals when they need it, leading them to the water to quench their thirst. The shepherd, as I said, was known throughout the ancient Near East for millennia. But the shepherd was also a common metaphor in the ancient Near East to describe the role of a king. A shepherd had to care for the sheep, had to guide them well, at times had to put the interests of the flock above his own interests. This metaphor of the shepherd king provided a contrast to other ways of thinking about the king, such as the king being seen as the child of the gods or as a powerful ruler. The metaphor of the shepherd was particularly strong in Israel and was often used not only to describe the king, but even to criticize the king. Even more so, the shepherd metaphor was applied to the relationship between God and God's people. Even a king like David experienced the Lord as his shepherd. And even though here today we have no shepherds as they had in ancient Israel, Psalm 23 still resonates with us now. And it has comforted people over the millennia. For the Lord, the maker and sustainer of heaven and earth, the one who works in the history of the world and of his people, that God is my shepherd. The Lord cares for me personally, me, the inconsequential mortal, and directs my individual path. As the Lord is my shepherd, I also recognize that I am part of God's flock. I'm not just an individual. I am part of the people of God. We may have our little fights about the best blade of grass. We may disagree in which direction we are supposed to be heading. But at the end, we are all part of the same flock and are directed by the Good Shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God provides for my life, gives me and the people of his flock what is required. The shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. We know that God will give us good things, just as a shepherd gives good things to sheep. In particular, this means that God will restore my soul. In biblical thought, our soul is not some immortal principle enclosed by our body, but rather the inner will, mind, and emotion that give our life meaning and direction, and which may be tuned towards the heavenly. God restores us at the core of our being. And so God leads us through the paths of life. If it is the Lord, the shepherd, who's leading us, then we are led along paths of righteousness. We may stray at times from these paths, but overall, if we entrust our ways to the Lord, we will be led along good paths. At times, we will walk through difficult paths, even through the valley of the shadow of death. God will not protect us from times when death comes near, but God will protect us at times when death comes near, even when death engulfs us. Yet, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am not afraid. I fear no evil, because evil cannot overwhelm me. Even if I were to come face to face with evil, even if my life on this world comes to a close, I do not fear. For you, my shepherd, are with me even then. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Humans are so often governed by fear. I suspect that even many of our rational arguments are clothed in reasonable words, but at the heart of them is fear. Our psalm encourages us to trust God even when our fears threaten to take us over. And then we talk about the metaphor of a table provided in the sight of my enemies. It's a change of emphasis in the psalm. But overall, this psalm encompasses all our experience with God. For as a shepherd leads the sheep to the food they need, so God gives us what we need in abundance. God's grace is like a feast, even if we are oppressed by all sorts of enemies. We are welcomed and honored with oil, and the cup of blessing overflows. And so God's goodness and loving kindness will not only be with me every step of the way, no, they will chase me down and will not let me alone. And so we can already here glimpse some of that eternal glory when we will be with God and God dwells with us. The theme of the shepherd is developed by Jesus, as we read in the Gospel of John today. The immediate passage Jesus refers back to is actually from the prophet Ezekiel, but overall it also fits well with Psalm 23. Jesus is the good shepherd, the one through whom God brings together the flock. Jesus contrasts the action of the shepherd with that of a hired worker. The hired worker looks after the sheep as long as it is convenient, but when looking after the sheep becomes dangerous, the hired worker runs away and leaves. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. The shepherd, in contrast, cares for the sheep. There is, after all, a relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. A good shepherd would risk his life for the sheep. But the good shepherd, Jesus, laid down his life for the sheep. That is a totally different depth of love and self-sacrifice. To deliberately give his life in exchange for the sheep, that is more than anyone could expect of a shepherd. And so I go back to a real story. In my mother's village, there was a shepherd who cared for his sheep, as they did. And one day, some of his sheep got caught in a railway crossing as the gates came down. In those days, they still had barriers that automatically fenced off the road, so you had a barrier below and above and fence in between. So the sheep couldn't get out. The shepherd went in there and lifted the sheep over the barrier. He would not stop until the last sheep was saved. The train came and killed him. That is self-sacrifice. But we might also call it stupid. After all, who would die for some sheep? And yet, that is what Jesus does. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. That is the depth of God's love for us in Jesus. There's also a greater purpose here. For Jesus not only saved the sheep, but through his death, he created one flock, the unity of the flock. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. It is likely that Jesus picked up from the book of the prophet Isaiah, through which God said, I will gather others to them beside the already gathered. In the context of the gospel, that unification refers most probably to the joining of Jew and Gentile. Nevertheless, from that great unification, we always need to look at our own unity now, especially when we are so divided. That Jesus is the one shepherd for the flock not only is based on laying down his life, but also on taking it up again. For after the death of the cross follows the resurrection. Jesus was vindicated through the resurrection from death. And so he is the good shepherd who knows his sheep, and the sheep know him. And the sheep will listen to his voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Amen.